Hi everyone. My name is Karen Borja. I am a community organizer. So I am a community organizer with Inland Congregations United for Change, ICUC. We're part of the PICO National Network. I work in Southern California, in the San Bernardino, Coachella, Inland Empire of Southern California. And today my topic will be fostering community ownership of health improvement strategies through faith-based community organizing. ICUC has been around for 23 years to meet the social vulnerabilities of the Inland Empire. We organize in San Bernardino, Riverside, Ontario, the Coachella Valley, and most recently the High Desert with 40 member congregations. We came to be formed because our congregations of the Inland Empire, mostly Riverside and San Bernardino, the priests and the clergy just could not handle the intense amount of vulnerabilities that were happening in their own congregations, in their own communities. There was a lot of violence, there was a lot of poverty, there still is a lot of violence, and still is a lot of poverty that our congregations don't have the time, the means, the willpower sometimes to move forward into actions to change these, to create positive community health outcomes. I will be sharing a story of the Coachella Valley today. It's that giant red circle. It's near the Salton Sea. Used to be really popular back in the day. Now it's a big health hazard for a lot of our residents. The Coachella Valley has a population of over 500,000 people. There are 9 incorporated cities. Some of you guys might know Palm Springs. That's in part of the Coachella Valley. There are 7 unincorporated areas. These unincorporated cities are part of Riverside County. So they don't have local government officially. They have one person that represents all 7 of these unincorporated communities at the county level. So if ever you want to pass a policy, you can't do it locally the way you could at the city of Coachella. You have to go all the way to the county and change your policy there. Riverside is where you have to travel. From Indio to Riverside, it's 1.5 hours, right? So keep that in mind as we continue this conversation. There's a lot of tribal land, which means that tribal governance doesn't comply with a lot of county governance, a lot of state governance, and a lot of federal government. They're complicit to their own laws, their own tribal land laws, and so that also makes it very, very difficult. There's 5 tribes in our area, and they're rather small compared to the population. Over 50% of the population is Hispanic, 45% white, 2.1 Asian, almost 2% Black, and 0.4% Native American. So what this really leads to a lot of the times in the Coachella Valley is a disproportion of political and economic representation. The people who sit in these councils, the people who govern over the Coachella Valley, do not look, talk, live where most of the population lives. And that is one of the biggest challenges. It has been one of the biggest challenges for the Coachella Valley for more than 50 years. So with all of that, there is a need to organize. There's a very, very strong need for community organizing in the Coachella Valley. Using the PICO model, we gain faith memberships through our congregations in these vulnerable cities to continue addressing social concerns that the churches can no longer grasp on locally. Like I said, there's no way Father Guy is going to go to the Indio Council and ask the police to stop impounding cars, right? He'll do it, but he can't do it 5 days a week, 7 days a week, for a whole year or 1.5 years, right? But we do know through faith-based organizing is that his congregation can rally and can go to the Indio City Council and ask them to create these policies that are needed. And that's how we operate. So the case study I'm here to share with you guys today is this North Shore community. You remember that map of the Salton Sea? It's the last city in Riverside County. It's officially 2 hours away from Riverside, and its representative is a supervisor who's Republican, Anglo, lives also in an unincorporated city, but very, very far away from this community, and had only visited the North Shore community about 2x in his whole political career. right? So when I first got to North Shore, I realized that there was a lack of organizing skills within the community. Sometimes you go into these cities in the Coachella Valley, and folks will tell you, yeah, we organized with the UFW, right, the Cesar Chavez days, and La Marcha, y La Gente, y El Pueblo, right? And they'll share with you these really great stories. None of that existed in North Shore. None of it. There was a real lack of leadership, not only in the community, but political leadership as well. You would go into these council meetings, into these like local community councils. No one knew where North Shore was, right? We invited the Riverside County Transportation Commission to come join us one day in North Shore, and they got lost. The first thing they told us was, we didn't even know you guys existed. How are they going to represent a community of almost 4,000 people on paper and about 7,000 people off paper if they don't even know where it's at? How are they going to create policies that positively impact these communities if no one knows that they exist, right? So there was a lack of proper representation and attention. There is nothing out in the community of North Shore. There's one grocery store that'll charge you $7 for a small can of mayo. There's this community yacht club, which is the best thing they have out there. It's a community center. They're just starting Zumba classes and after-school programs, but that's been in the last 2 years. We've been organizing there for 2 years, right? So the change that comes into the community matters. But all in all, there was people that were determined and had a vision for their community, right? They had a vision, and they still have a vision, of seeing a beautiful clinic in their community, of seeing a responsive police department, of seeing local policies work. And that's from the North Shore Yacht Club. It's beautiful there, right? But no one knows where it's at. So, when I went in, the first thing I heard was a bus. We need public transportation. The community cannot get to the grocery store, cannot get to the health clinics, cannot get to medical appointments, cannot get to higher education. If your child misses a school bus, they're stuck at home for the rest of the day and they miss out on that school day. So we heard a lot of issues regarding transportation. And we didn't see a bus out there. And we didn't see a bus coming for a long, long time. But what we did was that we kept listening to the community. We had over 800 one-to-one conversations in the community of North Shore alone. People were going to their neighbors and asking them, what do you want to see in your city? What is your self-interest? What's going to move you to push for X, Y, and Z? And man, we got back a whole load of different visions, right? People wanted a park. People wanted a school. People need a clinic. People needed transportation. People need basic clean water, gas lines, electricity, light poles, right? Everything you could imagine in a community, when you start building a community, that's what North Shore needed. And so out of those 800 conversations, the one topic that did keep coming up was public transportation. So after that, we started doing research with experts. And who were these experts? Riverside County Transportation Commission, the supervisor himself, who for the first time, since he had been appointed, decided to come out to North Shore by himself, right? He didn't need any pressure from the media. He had a little community pressure, right? But not too much. But he decided to come out. We started doing research with local transportation experts. We did van pools. We had them come in and talk to us about van pooling. We had Sunline, our public bus transportation system, come in and tell us how much it was going to cost to bring a service out here, out to North Shore, how much it was going to cost to extend a line, how much it would cost to do van pooling, all sorts of research. We had dozens and dozens of meetings in a year and a half, and we began to build relationships where it mattered. Politicians, transportation stakeholders, and people who influenced and moved money, right? Because you cannot just ask for policies. You have to make sure that you're going to be able to fund it somehow. So we held three really, really large public meetings. Hundreds of community members would show up, not only people from North Shore, but the surrounding communities like Mecca, Coachella, Oasis, because they all had family members in North Shore that they could not visit, right? We had a lot of our local congregations also join us at these large public meetings because the people of North Shore couldn't get to Sunday services, couldn't get to Saturday services. But we weren't heard. At these three very large, very public meetings, we were not heard that transportation was the issue for North Shore. We kept hearing the Salton Sea, and the Salton Sea needs to be restored, and the Salton Sea this, and the Salton Sea that. And we were like, yes, we love the Salton Sea, and it needs to be restored, but we need public transportation. That is our issue, and you're not going to move us from our priority issue. So we weren't heard, but we did listen. We were told that in order to validate these 800-plus conversations, we had to put them all on paper. We had to quantify everything that we had learned and listened from our neighbors. So the leaders themselves decided to create, distribute, and analyze a comprehensive survey to show the impact of their conversations. We surveyed over 21% of the population of North Shore. It was this massive, very popular, very sort of sexy, enticing survey where folks like the supervisor were getting information that they didn't know existed in North Shore, where Riverside County now could say, wow, the community of North Shore does exist, right? And then we were getting and releasing this information to other public stakeholders, like the clinics, where they could see that 60% of the population lived under $15,000 a year, right? Where they could see that more than half of the people needed public transportation to get to their clinics, to get to their hospitals, to get to their doctors, right? So it started interesting. North Shore started being of interest to the community outside of just these unincorporated communities. Started being an interest to the stakeholders, people who could eventually build a powerful, beautiful future for the city of North Shore. So after we had established our credibility, after we had built some power and we influenced the people who had the power, we were able to sort of call the press, right? We were able to very publicly take our research forward. We held a series of intimate relationship-building meetings with some of these politicians and the transportation people and the money people, and we told them what we wanted. We told our politicians when we wanted it, and we told the money people how much we wanted it for, right? Initially, they were talking of millions of dollars for extending a 9-mile bus route from Mecca to North Shore. Millions. We were like, that's impossible. We cannot sustain $2-3 million bus route. We could sustain $500,000 bus route, and here's the survey to tell you, because we make this much, we needed this badly, and we're willing to pay this much. And we got it. We got all three things. So now, from Monday to Friday, you can see the Sunline Transportation bus running 5 days a week at $500,000, right? And how much is it costing the community? $1.50 a day. Right? Incredible. Impossible. But they did it. So once we had these very intimate meetings, and we sort of told them our plan and what we needed to see and how we could help them be successful, as successful as we wanted this transportation to be, we took action. We brought these three stakeholders, the politicians, the transportation people, and the money people, to a big, big, big public community forum. We had almost 10 media hits. From not being recognized a year and a half ago to 10 media hits throughout the whole valley, people who had never been in front of the camera and only watched the news, sharing their personal stories and their personal testimonies, right? People who had never even taken a survey, sharing very important and crucial data about themselves. That was power building. The community was able to say, we can do this together. La unión sí está en la fuerza. Unity is, power is in unity, right? It's a very clear testament. And also we shared prayer and food, right? We didn't forget who we were. We were a noble, humble Latino community that cooked great food, but we were also faith-based community organizers and leaders who were going to say thanks to our higher power, for getting us to this position. And I think letting the stakeholders know who we were really resonated with them. And it resonates with them now whenever they come to meet with us. They know who they're meeting with now, right? It's not just some community group that's not organized. It's a faith-based community group that's willing to move policies to make this community a healthier one. So 3 months later, after that big action, an extensive follow-up, and many public thanks, right? We had our butts. And this is it. This is the first picture of leaders with their bus in front of the yacht club. We had a big community fair. We had a taco stand. We had mariachi. It was incredible. People were crying. People were in tears to see that this could be done. But they were also very rejoiceful to know that this wasn't the end, right? That we were going to continue organizing for North Shore. So the community ownership piece that came out of all this is that the community had a desire to know who their neighbors were and what their needs were. Their personal relationships was what was going to create power and move them forward in this campaign. Conducting their own research and presenting it, they knew that once they had the tools in their hands to be able to, in black and white, show it and not just orally present it, that people were going to listen to them. And people were going to say, this is a credible group. You guys do deserve to be at this meeting. You guys do deserve to be presenting here. And more than that, you do deserve to be listened to. Beyond that, we also learned that we needed to continue organizing, right? The community said, yeah, we want our bus, but we still need so many other things. We need to continue organizing. The best thing about this campaign was that the public bus wasn't the only outcome that came out of this year and a half campaign. We now had a women's co-op, which was making food and starting to learn business models. We had a park also through community organizing that's now coming into North Shore. We had 5 acres donated for that park, right, from someone who had learned about the Sunline victory and said, yeah, this community does deserve a park. Let me just hand them 5 acres. So we learned a lot, and we learned that our own ownership of our own communities was what was going to make those changes happen. The health outcomes that are there to stay is that now we have access to better food, right? People don't have to pay $7 for a little can of mayo. People can spend $7 on lettuce and tomato and vegetables, right? We now have access to our healthcare providers. Our undocumented community, which is a large part of North Shore, has to travel all the way to Moreno Valley, another 2 hours to seek medical attention. Well, now they have linkage from their hometown to take the 2-hour drive or 2-hour bus trip to Moreno Valley. Folks have access now to take a 20-mile bus ride to go see their clinics, right, and get their diabetes insulation medicine and see their own doctors and get an eye exam. We have connections to higher education. A lot of our students were telling us, we have to miss school. We can't continue going to the local community college or the UCR or Cal State Extensions in Palm Desert because we don't have reliable transportation that will get us there every day. Well, now they do, right? So many of our young folks didn't have options before. And now not only can they go seek jobs, but they can also go get higher education. We had a link to work. And that's really where the money came from, right? It was dark money. It was this grant for 2 years that's going to give people the ability to go seek work in areas that they didn't before. Doña Violeta is a great example of that. She's an undocumented immigrant from Mexico. She's been in North Shore for about 25 years. She first came to the United States, got her GED, took some English classes, was very great at learning English, has college-level preparation in English language, has her secretary degree, accounting degree. She was working for a mechanic, and she had to quit because she didn't have reliable transportation. Well, now Violeta has reliable transportation, and with those certificates, she can get a job anywhere. Well, not anywhere, but we're hoping for immigration reform to pass. But if that happens, she can get a job anywhere. And they also have the ability to go to parks and recreation and the library and use the internet and run around, right, and have healthier lifestyles. So what's next for North Shore? Like I said, they are continuing to organize around health. The next big campaign on their radar is the health clinic. And guess what? We have three folks competing for North Shore community attention, so the North Shore community can say, yeah, we want you to be our health clinic provider. That's huge! No one knew where they were, and now they have three people fighting over them to be the healthcare provider and the healthcare champion for North Shore. We've had three research meetings to gain knowledge and implementation of a clinic. How much is it going to take? Who is it going to take? What it'll cost? All these other things. Beyond that, they participate bi-monthly in council meetings, local community supervisor council meetings. And those are great and powerful, but I'm also hoping that soon enough, some of them will jump on those councils and start making the decisions themselves. And finally, people are inviting them to come speak at different venues. People want the North Shore community to share their transportation win and talk about the future, right? And so the North Shore community is also asking these other local communities to do a rural transportation plan for these 7 unincorporated communities. And that's sort of the big countywide policy that we're hoping to accomplish in the next year and a half. A big rural transportation plan that really will connect the rest of the Coachella Valley together. And lastly, they are committed to engage civically for the next elections. And that's very important in who represents them. So thank you very much. My information is below if you have any questions. Appreciate your time.